Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is Brian Albrecht, your host. Today our text is taken from the book of 1 John, chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, which teach, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." These verses are really pivotal to our salvation. First of all, we have to acknowledge our sin. We have to acknowledge our flaws. We have to acknowledge all the wrong things that we've done. And as we confess our sins, the Lord Jesus is faithful to forgive us our sins. And He cleanses us. He makes us holy. In fact, the Bible teaches that Jesus' righteousness is imputed. It's given to us when we become believers and we're made righteous. But as we walk through life, we, even as believers, we commit sin. And so we need to constantly be confessing our sins and having our sins forgiven. And as we do that, we maintain fellowship with God and we sense His presence. And we see Him empowering us to do works of ministry, works of service to those around about us. And we can worship God in spirit and truth, and we can sense all His presence and all the blessing and the peace and the joy that He gives us. And so I pray that all of us continue to confess our sins and walk with Christ and to sense Him working through us each day.
This is Reverend Dennis Campbell, President of Mission Go, sharing updates from the mission field. This week, Mission Moments will focus on Mission Go's continued direct outreach to build the local Christian church globally. Here are samples from the mission field. From Jesse Mitchell, servicing in the country of Sierra Leone, West Africa, one of the new ministries that our missionary, Jesse, in Sierra Leone, has gotten involved with is helping set up a community football soccer team. Several months ago, four young men who work for the mission came by his house and asked if he would sponsor them to start their team. Jesse's first thought was that that would be very expensive. However, after some discussion, they explained that they wanted to start their team for the community that would be set up to encourage good sportsmanship. These young men who work for the mission and want to get this started are some of the hardest working, stand-up, and all-around great guys our missionary Jesse has ever enjoyed working with. He could not think of a better group of men to encourage to be community leaders and role models for the other young men and boys around this part of town. Therefore, over the past couple of months, Jesse has supplied them with football, soccer balls, and they practice almost every day when it's not raining. Their football soccer field is an old parking lot, all broken asphalt in the ruins of the old mining company that was abandoned during the Civil War. When one falls, it is like landing on rusty cheese graters. It sometimes feels a bit strange to Jesse, sitting with a bunch of kids on a pile of broken rubble, laughing and cheering, watching the guys play, and then looking over at the tumbled down walls scarred with bullet holes behind us. He's never sure if he should feel pain at the loss or hope to see new joy and life rising out of the ashes. It may be a mixture of both. After each practice, the guys take a moment to give a little pep talk and have a short prayer time. Jesse has done several short talks on health, nutrition, and proper hydration in sports. They always invite the players to join for their morning Bible study at the mission and their church on Sundays. They have had a few who have started coming regularly. Each ball costs about $30 Canadian, and because they are playing on broken asphalt, they don't last very long. The battered, patched, half-deflated balls then get handed off to the little boys, who have their own side games going on down the hill. They are just living life together. I believe that is what the foundation of missions is all about. Another couple, Drew and Kaylina Hill, serving in Sierra Leone, West Africa. Their focus is on discipleship. When they came last year for their vision trip to Sierra Leone, the need for discipleship was evident, and it was a burden on their hearts to come back to the States and create discipleship material for a group of believers who desired to grow and mature in their faith. As they prayed and prayed and continued waiting to return full time, the Lord sent Norris to Mukanji with the same heart and passion to disciple. They are so thankful that the Lord is using these two to teach the locals to observe all that Jesus commands and guide them to maturity and knowledge of Jesus Christ. This couple is an answered prayer to so many prayers. They came on their vision trip after ours and saw the same need. Since moving here full time, they have started meeting daily with local leaders, both men and women, local pastors, and some younger girls who attend IPSS to disciple them. Before their three-week trip, Drew and Quinn communicated a lot about the material they'd created and how it would pair with the material they were currently using. Since they arrived in Sierra Leone, Drew and Quinn have daily started introducing their one-nailed discipleship material to the local leaders who are part of many ministries in the community. Church plant pastor, second-generation church plant pastor, well-digging leader, young boys ministry leader, rice ration ministry leader to hungry kids in the village, and soon-to-be IPSS teacher that has been vetted by the Arnolds for years and currently seeing how it has been beneficial to them. Watching Drew and Quinn teach these men has been so encouraging to see. Their goal was to introduce this material and let Quinn take it over until they return and can rejoin disciplining whomever the Lord gives. Please continue to pray for the Norris in their ministry and for those who they are and will be disciplined to have a growing love for the Word of God and will have the boldness to share it with others and for the locals, themselves to begin discipleship relationships soon. Pray for the woman McKenna is disciplined and will be. She is using the material they came with, and we are praying that when Kaylina comes back, she will start discipleship with those women using the one nail material. Their little discipleship team is very excited that the men and women will get to go through two discipleship materials. The church here is growing, and it's been a beautiful sight to see the evidence of the Holy Spirit during this gathering. It excites our missionaries to come back and begin discipleship, their purpose in life the Lord has given all believers. Our senior missionaries, Bill and Beth Arnold, in Sierra Leone, West Africa, serve by showing the Lord's love in many physical outreach, thus building relationship to share the gospel. This month, they reported that the well-digging team completed 13 new wells this year, deepened 8 more, and repaired many existing wells. We heard a story yesterday that when this mission began many years ago, the missionary asked a local nurse how he could help her. Expecting to hear medicine, clothes, or food, he was surprised when she quickly responded, "Water." Thus began the Sound Ministry, which continues today to provide safe, accessible, and physical water and the opportunity to know the living water. A new primary school is going to be a reality. Praise the Lord. Faith Christian Academy will open this September with 20 eager, energetic 4-year-olds. Bill has been working diligently to have the school building ready, and Beth is anxious to meet the teachers whom God has prepared to join her in the classroom. In the past 6 months, we have been able to provide the following medical help to patients, both at our local hospital as well as at a larger hospital 2 hours away for surgeries and dental work, 34 hernia surgeries, 12 other surgeries, lipectomy, appendectomy, hysterectomy. 6 infants with malaria needing emergency services in other facilities. 3 expectant mothers given transport and medical costs for. C-sections, 116 patients treated for malaria, boils, ulcers, and various infections. 1 snake bite victim received transport to a clinic 5 hours away for anti-serum 12 tooth extractions plus medical supplies needed to treat patients here at the Mukanji Clinic. A town chief told us just yesterday, "My wife would not be here today if you had not taken her to the hospital a few months ago. You paid for her 3 surgeries. We were there for 4 months. I could never have afforded any of that. To us, she was just a lady in need. We had no idea she was the chief's wife. To him, she was his life and the mother of their 5 children. partner, we say to you as we told him, praise Jesus. It is only because of him and he deserves all the praise. Please pray that they will seek him and come to know him personally. Pray for these active missionaries who are serving so far from home but want to be servants to our Lord Jesus. These dear people would not be able to stand in these places without prayer partners. So please pray for the missionaries of Mission Go today that resources will allow them to stay on station. Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is a listener-supported program, and we would not be on the air without the support of our listeners. This month, we are offering Chronic Illness and Disability, God's Peace in the Midst of Pain by June Hunt. June is an author and counselor and founder of Hope for the Heart, a ministry that changes lives with resources translated into 36 languages on 6 continents. Are you feeling insignificant, deprived, even resentful? Those recurrent side effects of chronic illness your doctor failed to mention? Although you try to see the bright side, your outlook is often overcast by the chronic nature of your condition. While others appear to enjoy good health and vitality, you struggle for sensible answers. Have you asked, why is this happening to me? How can I help others when I can't even help myself? Is God punishing me? Has my sin brought on this condition? If I have enough faith, will God heal me? Even with chronic health concern, you can experience the soothing balm of God's peace as you apply the biblical prescription for victorious living. And as you do, you can bring encouragement and hope to others who also need God's peace in the midst of plan. To order your copy, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Postal Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R77, or in the U.S., P.O. Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231.
Today, our message is from Reverend George Francisco and is titled, Spiritual Truths. Printed copies are available upon request.
The scriptural passage for our talk this time is found in Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. The topic today is selected spiritual truth from Christ's visit to Capernaum. We will examine some of the interesting things from this passage and gather some insights that are spiritually important. Mark chapter 2 verse 1 reads, And again Jesus entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason these things in your hearts? Whether it's easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw it on this fashion." Now, this is a great passage of Scripture to be looking at, and we want to just examine a few spiritual things from it today. First, verse 1 says, "And again he entered into Capernaum." So Jesus had ministered at Capernaum before. In fact, chapter 1 describes a powerful ministry of Christ at Capernaum, where he healed a man of an unclean spirit and cast out the demons. Then it says it hit the people like a shockwave. The people present saw what amazed them, it says. The Greek word indicates something like a shockwave among them. They knew right away that Jesus was totally different from the normal rabbis of the day. Then Jesus healed Peter's wife's mother of a fever. This further enhanced interest in him, so much so that it says by nightfall, verse 33, "They brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils, and he healed many." And verse 33 says, "And all the city was gathered together at the door." So Christ's first visit had affected the whole city and demonstrated clearly his absolute deity. Now he came again, or the second time, to Capernaum. They were receiving a second chance, as it were. And by the way, this teaches us that we do have a second chance to believe in Christ, and a third chance, and perhaps four, five, or more. But these chances are all here in this life. The Bible teaches distinctly that if we ignore Christ here, we will never have a second chance in eternity. The Scripture is abundantly clear, Hebrews 9:27. "It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." So there will be no further chance. Hebrews 2 and 3 says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" What a question. There will be no escape for those who neglect God's salvation in Christ. And furthermore, Jesus said in John 8, "If ye believe not that I am he," that is the promised Messiah and Savior, "then you shall die in your sins." Now, Scripture makes it clear that to die in one's sin is to be lost forever and ever. May I urge those of you who have listened to this broadcast, perhaps for years, but you have never really felt the importance of humbling yourself and confessing your sins to Christ alone, and inviting him to save and forgive you. There is no other way. There is no other Savior. There is no second chance. Christ came again to Capernaum, and you need to listen and to turn to him as he calls you. Now, there were many other chances that Capernaum had, for Jesus ministered there for many days, but they were all in this life. So it's important that you respond today to God's call. Then we note the central core of Jesus' ministry is found in verse 2. "He preached the word unto them." The word that Jesus preached was God's word, the Bible. And the people came. They filled the house. They packed the area around the door, it says, and even crowded outside all around. They wanted to see and hear this man who spake as no other man. Jesus believed the Scriptures were the word of God, down to the very jot and tittle, saying in Matthew 5:18, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." Now, the jot was a small Hebrew letter, and the tittle was the small curved marks that distinguishes the meaning between certain Hebrew letters. Jesus thus believed the Bible. He had total confidence in it and preached it without fear or favor. He proclaimed it as the very word of God, and people came to listen. They filled the house, crowded the door, and packed the areas outside. I find it a bit ironic that churches, eager to draw people, are leaving the preaching of God's word for about everything else in the world. The major job of the church in the world is to preach and to teach God's word. It is God's word about Jesus that is the bread of life and the water of life to man's soul and spirit. It is God's word that he himself has promised to bless. Isaiah 55 says, "For as the rain cometh down and watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." No wonder then the great apostle Paul declared, "Preach the word, be instant, in season and out of season." 2 Timothy 4. The church needs to get back to the business of preaching and teaching God's word with clarity and conviction. For who else in this world will declare God's great love for man? Who else will tell the world of Christ, God's Son, dying on the cross for man's sin? Who will call men to come in repentance and faith to Christ for the forgiveness of their sins and the promise of eternal life? These are the truly important issues of life, and God gives us the true and dependable answers. William F. Burke was general manager of Project Mercury and Gemini and vice president of the McDonnell Corporation. He taught Sunday school in his church for many years. In an interview, he stated, quote, "I have found nothing in science or space exploration to compel me to throw away my Bible or to reject my Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom I trust. The space age has been a factor in the deepening of my own spiritual life. I read the Bible more now. I get from the Bible what I cannot get from science, the answers to the really important things of life." Friends, if you want answers to life's important questions like, where did all things come from, and why am I here, and where am I going to spend eternity? How can I live the best possible life? These and many other blessings are found in the Bible. Someone has written, "Warning, reading the Bible is habit forming. Regular use causes loss of anxiety, decreased appetite for lying, cheating, stealing, and hating. Increasing symptoms of love, peace, joy, and compassion can result." May our churches and we as Christians renew our commitment to read, believe, and proclaim the truth of God's word. The Apostle John declares, "These things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." John 20. Then we want to see from the scriptures today that many people need help if they're ever to come to Jesus. The palsied, or paralytic in today's language, this man was especially blessed to have four friends who not only carried him to Jesus, but who persisted when they found no orthodox way to bring him to Christ. They broke up the roof in order to have him personally meet the Savior. Now, breaking into houses is certainly not a recommended thing to do, but it showed that they were serious, energetic, and innovative. The great Apostle Paul spoke of some similar things in 1 Corinthians 9 when he said, "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by some all means save some." Sanctified innovation can be used of God to spread the gospel. Then this passage unmasks man's basic problem, unbelief. On Christ's first visit to Capernaum, we have seen that he did the works that only God could do, healing of a man of an evil spirit and Peter's mother-in-law of a fever, and then healing many from the whole city as they gathered round. Now, the scriptures say that the scribes were there because the whole city was gathered together. And here they are now reasoning in their hearts again after seeing all those miracles that only God can forgive sins. They're thinking that Jesus is not the Son of God. Well, they were right on one thing. God is the only one who can forgive sins. And if you want your sins to be forgiven, confess them only to God. The scribes saw Jesus do the works of God, but refused to believe that he was the one who he claimed to be, the Son of God. Jesus had great patience with these unbelievers, but there will come a time when he accepted their final decision, and no man will ever get to heaven without moving from unbelief to faith in Christ. Jesus called men to believe in him, and if you want to be saved, and if you want to be forgiven, then you must do that. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, were the words of Paul to a Roman jailer. Millions have come, and you can come too. Then finally today we learn that God wants us to know or to have assurance that Christ is of God, and that forgiveness is real. Jesus said to the unbelievers, "If I say to this man, your sins be forgiven, well, who can test that? No one is able to know whether that's true or not. But if I say to a paralytic or paralyzed man, arise, take up thy bed and walk, then there's no doubt about the outcome. He will either get up or continue to lay there. It would take a miracle of God to make a paralyzed man walk. Jesus said it. The man arose. And the result is we know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Friends, Christ is the Son of God. His forgiveness is real. And you can know that today by trusting him as your own Lord and Savior.
I trust that the message that you just heard will be a great blessing to you and that you can apply it to your own life. Here at Canada's National Bible Hour, we're very concerned about the spiritual well-being of those who listen to our broadcasts each week. We're so thankful that many believers can hear and understand the Word of God and apply it to their life. But we're also concerned about those who may not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And the gospel is very clear. The Bible tells us that all of us are sinners and we need a Savior. And we've all done things that we're ashamed of. And of course, this brings guilt into our lives, which continues to defeat us. But there's good news. And the good news is that the Lord Jesus Christ, who was God, became man, and he went to the cross and he bore our sins, every one of our sins, in his own body as he hung on the tree. He basically was our substitute because we deserve to be there and pay for our own sins. But Jesus died in our place. He was buried and he rose again on the third day. He's alive. He's right there where you are. And basically the Bible tells us, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he loved you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. So that's the great promise. And that's a transformative promise because that promise changed my life. And I know it'll change your life. Ask the Lord Jesus sincerely to forgive your sin and come into your life and make you a new person. The Bible tells us that any man who is in Christ is a new creature, a new creation. Old things pass away. All things become new. You can have a new life. Things can change your life if you'll just trust God and live for him and go to a Bible-believing church and start growing by reading the Word of God.
Remember to order your copy of Chronic Illness and Disability, God's Peace in the Midst of Pain by June Hunt. To order your copy, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Postal Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R77, or in the U.S. P.O. Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. For more information about the Ministries of Mission, go visit www.missiongo.org. Please remember us in your prayers.